Yeah, as a family, and even we have some upcoming events here with our church family. And so we are closing out the book of Romans this morning, Romans chapter 16. And here we go. So where's my sermon notes? It's going to be a real short sermon otherwise. That's true. If I go off my nose, we might be here all day. Warm greetings. And so, you know, in the ancient culture, you know, we always start off our letter with our greeting, dear so-and-so, right? And we might even write a little bit of a, you know, hey, it was so good to see you, et cetera, et cetera. And we put our greetings at the beginning, where in the ancient culture, they put their greetings at the end of the letters. And so this is Paul's the end of the letter, where he's sending his greetings, and he is greeting a whole bunch of people. But one of the things that I think is important to take away is that these are really warm greetings, that these are greetings that he's sending to people that he knows, that he has a relationship with, and that he really appreciates. Verse 1 and 2 says, I commend you, Phoebe, our sister, who is servant in the church of Centria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business that she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Phoebe is probably the one that's delivering this letter to the Roman church. And so Paul is saying, whatever she needs, make sure that you help her to get it. And then there is a list of 24 names and then two people who are not named. And so there's 26 people that Paul refers to in this greeting. And apart from Priscilla and Aquila, which is the next ones, we really don't know much about any of them. There's speculation, and we're going to make some of that speculation, but for the most part, we really don't know much about them. Of the 26 people, 9 of them are women. And it says, if we add Phoebe, there is a very impressive number when we reflect the character of a male-dominated society of that day. Some of the names are Jewish, some are Latin, and most of them are Greek. Some of the people that Paul is greeting are in his ministry team. Paul would often send a group of people ahead of himself before he got to an area to share the gospel and to get the church going. And then he would come in and, as we know from Acts chapter 17, he would go into the Jewish synagogue first and evangelize, share the gospel with them, and then he would go out to the broader community and share the gospel there as well. Some of those people that were on his evangelism team, or at least the first part of this list, is what we believe are Paul is addressing people that either have been on his evangelism team or are in Rome as a part of his evangelism team preparing for his coming to Rome. Priscilla and Aquila, let's just read 3 through 7. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved. Well, actually, I'm just going to stop there and just say about Priscilla and Aquila. They are in Rome, probably as a part of the advanced ministry team, but they also were in Corinth, and they hosted a church in Corinth, and now they're hosting a church in Rome in their homes. And so these are people that Paul has really depended on, and they're a big part of his ministry. It says, greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Epaphroditus is probably a convert from Ephesus, who Priscilla and Aquila actually evangelized. And then Andronicus and Junia says, greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. So this is a couple who came to Christ even before Paul, and Paul probably came to Christ a few years after the resurrection of Christ. And so these are people that might have been there in Jerusalem at the very beginning, or at the very time that the church was founded. So then it says, to the Christians in Rome, we're going to read verses 8 through 15. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, my fellow worker in Christ. Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are in the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. Might be, some scholars think that those might be twin sisters, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Now, the interesting thing about Rufus is that there is a good chance, one scholar points out, there is a good chance that this Rufus is the Rufus of Mark 15:21, which describes Simon of Cyrene, who bore the cross of Christ. So when Jesus was being led out of the city and he had to carry his own cross and then he couldn't carry it anymore, it was Simon of Cyrene who bore the cross for Christ. And it describes him as being the father of Alexander and Rufus. And so it's likely, or there's a good chance, that this Rufus is the son of Simon of Cyrene. And Paul might have stayed with Simon when he came back to Jerusalem. And so he might have a very close relationship with Simon and his wife, which would be Rufus's mother. Greet Ansincritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brethren who are with them. It's probably a family or maybe a group of siblings that are in a church together. They have their own house church. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all of the saints who are with them. There is in this list names of people who were of the ruling families, names of people who were slaves, the rich, the poor, the free. And so there's a lot of diversity in this list. Paul also sends greetings from him and his companions, verse 21 through 24. It says, Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, that's how he's pronounced that, Sosipater, my countrymen greet you. Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. And so Tertius was the one who actually scribed the letter. Paul spoke it, and Tertius wrote it down. Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. And Quartus, a brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And then in Romans chapter 16, there's two other passages besides this long greeting. One is basically, Paul is saying that work together, stay united in Christ. First of all, we need to make sure that we basically stay away from people who cause division. There is a lot of people who cause division, and we need to stay away from them. Romans 16, 17, and 18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. And boy, do we see that happening today. A lot of people are deceived about what is the truth, because there's a lot of people who cause division and say things that just aren't true, but they do deceive a lot of people. And so Paul says to make sure that you are protecting yourselves from those who want to come in and cause division. Notably, at that time, it was the Judaizers, right? It was the people, Jewish people who are trying to say, no, you need to stay under the law, or other people who are still living in sin, even though they claim to be of Christ. Paul also says to be wise in goodness, unlearned in evil, Romans 16:19. For your obedience has become known to all, therefore I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. The idea is that we should explore what is good to its fullest extent, but do not explore what is evil. And that's really, if you think about the devil's tactic, he doesn't come out and say, hey, do this horrible thing, right? He just says, explore this idea, explore this thing that will lead to your ruin. And so Paul is saying, be simple concerning evil. You know, as parents, we desire to protect our children from evil, right? And the pushback to that is, you're sheltering your children, right? You're giving them a sheltered life. And I just want you to encourage that Paul is saying, live a sheltered life. You don't need to experience all the evils of the world in order to be able to have a full and rich life. So not only should you shelter your children, you should also shelter yourself. And then the last is an encouragement in this little section here, Romans 16:20, is that Satan will be crushed. It says, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You know, the reality is these people who are Christians that he's writing to are being, you know, the government is persecuting them. The Jews, the religious people are persecuting them. And so it is a difficult choice to choose to be a Christian at this time in the Roman Empire. And these are the people in the seat of government. And some of these are even in government. They are serving in the families of power, or their family is in power. And so he says, hang on there, don't worry. Satan is going to lose. He is going to be destroyed. And so continue in what is good. And then Paul closes out the entire book with a few short verses where he says, give glory to God with your life. Live for him. And so glory to God. Let's just read 16:25 through 27. It says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And so Paul gives God glory for establishing us in the gospel, for revealing the mystery of that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The church age is the mystery that was revealed. Israel was expecting a ruler to come, somebody that would come down and save them politically, but Jesus came and saved them spiritually. And then he gave us the scriptures to obey him in faith. And so we're going to close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this book of Romans. What an excellent encouragement it is and has been to so many Christians throughout the many years of faith. And we are just so thankful that Paul wrote this to the believers in Rome. But Lord, we know that Paul is writing for many reasons. One, to encourage his workers who are working in Rome to help them overcome the strife between the Jewish population and the Gentile population, who are just experiencing a lot of division, and his desire to lay out the gospel, the true gospel of faith that we can all unite under, and so that there isn't a diversity of goals or visions or perspectives, but that we can unite in obedience to your desire. And so we thank you for this book that has laid out so clearly the faith that we hold to and has given us this direction of which we can build our lives off. off of and really to be able to study down into the nitty-gritty of some of these theological issues. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this time that we have had this year as we have studied through this book. And Lord, I just pray that the people have been blessed by it. But as we put that into practice, Lord, I pray that that's where the blessing we know that will come, is when we not just hear your word, but put it into practice. And so we thank you for this time, and we just give you the honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.